呜啊啊，轻轻哇啦哇啦乒乒，呜咦呜啊啊，轻轻哇啦哇啦乒乒，呜咦呜啊啊，轻轻。
This is your preview of Lollapalooza. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. Look who's in the studio, Wendy. It's our friend, noted pet expert Steve Dale.
I'm here.
Hi, Steve.
Hey.
You're very orangey today.
I've
your
even
had
an orange,
orange
hat.
Your hat's
to match.
Orange.
Yeah.
It's more like a burnt sienna.
Yeah?
Don't you think?
What? Yeah.
Is that bad?
Wendy no,
it's
good.
Wendy had a very
it's...
big box of crayons when she was growing up.
I had the 72.
Wow. Rich people.
Orange to me is bright orange. This is more muted. Would you
Yeah,
agree?
It's a muted orange, but
looks
it looks good on
muted.
You. Are you an autumn? What is your season?
It's hard to mute me. I don't know.
No?
I don't know. Right now. It is always my season.
Yeah. Steve,
yes.
Let's talk about pets. You're a noted pet expert. What about this heat with the pets?
Well, right now it's not so bad, but here's the thing. So people leave dogs, and I beg people to understand that dogs in hot cars do not do well, and people say, oh, I don't really understand why, because I could sit in a hot car for 10 minutes. Well, first of all, I
you
don't
wouldn't.
Know that you're right. Exactly.
You wouldn't.
You would never do that. But above and beyond that, dogs do not do as well in heat as people do. It turns out that the way they release heat by panting.
Yeah, they don't sweat like
is
we do.
Not as efficient as sweating like a pig or a person. It's just not. It's,
do pigs sweat?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I think
I'm
so.
Sorry, because that saying, I mm-hmm. was wondering
it's
if that's
accurate.
True. But
yeah.
Also, if we were sitting in a hot car, we'd either have the window all the way down or we'd have the AC going. When people leave a dog in a car, they crack the window because they don't want somebody to come in and steal their dog, and mm-hmm. they're going to fry from the inside out.
We need the car guy here to help us, but there's a car.
Click or clack?
No, GN's car guy. He's
Tom Appel?
Yeah. He would know. So he's great.
He is good.
Yeah, he is. And he would know. So there's a car that's either out or coming out that you can leave the car, and it's called the dog mode.
What?
And you could turn off the engine and the air conditioning stays on.
Oh, I want that for me.
When is that available, Steve?
Well, I'm not saying it's... I don't know anything else about it. Yeah. It's an interesting idea. But my point is that even walking down the street...
Tesla introduces dog mode to keep pets cool inside a car.
Great idea.
Just don't bring your dog with. They don't want to sit inside the car.
Sometimes the best solution is not to bring your dog with, as much as we want our dogs with us. The other thing people don't realize is that not only do dogs not efficiently cool off, certain kinds of dogs really have a hard time. So today, you walk down the street. It's a bit humid out, but it's not, I don't know what the temperature is, 80-ish, not even, right? It's okay. It's somewhat comfortable.
Right.
But for lots of dogs, it's hot today, really hot today, to take a walk that's more than a couple blocks long. A bulldog, a French bulldog, an Afghan pincher, a Japanese chin. Those dogs that look like they walked into a wall.
Yeah.
You know, the dogs with pushed-in noses.
Yeah.
The boxers, some of the pit bulls.
I would expect Bill to say that,
right, not
you.
Right, not you, Steve. You're a noted pet expert.
I took his
expectations
line. They have a smushy face.
Come on.
A smushy, cute face.
It's a cute face that pug, for example, has.
Yeah.
But the result is that they don't do very well in this kind of weather.
And in the hot sun, I'm kind of stupid. I didn't realize this. This is the first time I've had a completely black dog.
Yeah, dark colored dog.
And he seems to tucker out a lot. Tiki was dark, but he had some white in him. Kona's all black.
Makes a difference.
Yeah.
So if you, like, we know almost instinctively on a day that's sunny and 90, you just don't wear a black shirt.
Right.
Well, you do because it's cool. Or
well,
you might.
Right.
Not today, necessarily, mm-hmm. but most people wouldn't, right? I mean, just kind of know
right,
that.
Right, you wear white
because,
to reflect
right,
the heat.
Exactly, but dogs can't take off their coats and do that if they're...
It's a trick I'm working on with Kona.
That would be amazing!
And I'm looking at the calendar. I have set alerts with me and my phone to remind me of when to give heartworm and the
month.
Other... Right, so I do
and
it the first
flea
of...
And
yes.
Tick you know, so people think that, oh my gosh, I don't need to do heartworm because I don't see mosquitoes. And for cats, for example, they never get out. Well, maybe the cat doesn't go out, but mosquitoes come in.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know anyone who's never had a mosquito in their house. But moreover, mosquitoes do carry deadly to our dogs and cats heartworm disease. And it's something we can avoid. The preventives really work. Do it. The other thing that A new study just came out about ticks in big cities. So people think...
I don't take my dog camping. Why do I need to do it?
Exactly.
But you
do. For a variety of different reasons. So in some places, there are deer. The deer ticks are black-legged ticks, carry Lyme. And other tick disease, too, by the way. Ticks like to share. So they will sometimes give us not only Lyme, but another tick disease, a cocktail, if you will, of tick diseases. And they can give our dogs the same. And we know that dogs are a sentinel for tick disease. So if your veterinarian, first of all, says, tick disease is happening, protect your dog, I'm seeing it wherever you are. Then you have to think about protecting yourself as well. But it
can
really
I get it
happening.
From the dog? Like
no.
If, okay.
No, you cannot get...
I sometimes kiss him.
That's okay. You cannot get...
I know, I said that just for you.
You like it. You cannot get tick disease from your dog. However, what you can understand is that if the dog has it, first of all, you should have prevented it in the first place because you can.
Wendy had ringworm a few weeks ago. How'd she get that, Steve?
Well, that you can get from a dog.
No, I got a postcard from Molly Ringwald.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
What it was. I read that wrong. Sorry.
Same thing, almost.
Same thing.
Close enough.
Yeah.
So ticks are, I mean, you wouldn't think of an urban park like Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
And there's no, to my knowledge, there are no deer in Lincoln Park. So why is there tick disease? And here's what's happened. For years and years and years, people like Bill have gone up to Wisconsin or Michigan or Minnesota, and they hike in the woods. You're really good at that with your dog.
Yep.
You come back with your dog, if you got
maybe.
A dog. Yeah, if you had a
we'll
dog.
See how he does hiking.
Uh-huh. And you'd come back.
You can go to Ishnala with your dog.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
I'd like that.
Yeah, it's a supper club.
Yeah.
So you come back with
Pupper
your dog.
Club.
And what happens is the tick falls out, you know, and this is happening year after year after year after year after year. And there's lots, if you're a tick, there's lots to eat in Lincoln Park. You know, the little bunny rabbits, the
great
squirrels.
Restaurants.
Yeah.
There's that. And also there are city rats, which ticks like, or people. So the ticks have proliferated, and despite the winter vortex, overall our winters have been more mild, so you throw that into the mix.
Uh-huh.
And there are tick problems, not only in Chicago, in big cities all over the country.
What is Mayor Lightfoot doing about the ticks, Steve?
You know, I haven't asked
Come
her
on.
About that, but I know
these
what
GOP
you can
ticks.
Do. You can see your veterinarian
FOP.
About it.
FOP ticks.
Also, there's a vaccine for Lyme disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve, for sharing that with us.
All right, we are going to take a break, but there's a caller, an interesting call
a
that
caller.
We would like you
okay.
to take. 312-981-7200, and we're also going to talk about people who may be allergic to cats. There may be some
it's amazing
relief, so
this
we'll take a quick
science
break.
Science is incredible. You won't believe what you're about to hear.
He's noted pet expert Steve Dale. I'm Wendy Snyder. That's Bill Leff at 720 WGN.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa!
Some pussycat news that's coming up, but can we take a phone call first, Steve Dale?
Of course,
yes. I don't want to make Joe hang on any longer. Joe, you have a doggy question for noted pet expert Steve Dale?
Yes.
Hey, Joe.
My daughter has two dogs. They're about 4 or 5 years old, I believe. They're about 55 pounds apiece. Anyway, she just recently moved to a new building, and she has to walk up one flight of stairs. Her dogs have never had to walk upstairs since they were born, or down. And now she's having a major problem with them because they won't do it. And she has to carry them, each one of them, up and down the stairs when she takes them out.
And at 55 pounds, that's, you know,
heavy.
It gets
worn
out.
Yes.
Yeah, she's getting tired of it, too.
Well,
but they've been going through this for about a week now.
Yeah, she could think of it as like an alternative to a health club. But other than that, what I would suggest is use something really, really good to lure the dog step by step by step.
Well, she tried treats, and that doesn't do a thing.
Has she tried? Well,
really,
are the dogs treat motivated in general?
Yeah, you can pretty much get them to follow you anywhere when you have treats. But they won't do it. And if you try to force them, they'll be on the floor, or they really get scared about it.
So maybe they're not high enough quality, you know.
Are they rickety steps?
No,
they're inside steps. They're good steps.
Okay, so heavy artillery treats take out the really good stuff. So cold cuts, low fat, low salt. Hot dogs, yeah. Low salt if you could find them, or turkey dogs. First
good
of all,
idea.
I mean, use the really good stuff in small pieces, but use the really, really good stuff. That's number one. Number two, okay. Wendy's question is right. So if the steps are slippery, I didn't ask the age of the dogs. So it's probably the unfamiliarity, since both dogs have the same issue. But if they're slipping and sliding on the stairs, that makes matters worse. So if the stairs are carpeted, that's better. But to lure them up patiently, and she should be able to do it with treats or toys if the dog is more toy motivated.
And do you go one step at a time and then praise them? Like if they walk up one step, make a big deal about it?
Yeah, hope there aren't a thousand steps, but yes.
They don't want to come near her when she's on the stairs. And now when they're, she says also when they're outside and they go to go back in, they don't even want to go back in because they know what's in there.
Well, you could.
They're brothers. They're 5 years old.
So installing an elevator is not a solution to this?
Yeah, Joe, check out my portable dog elevator. It's at our Facebook page.
Now, you would think that'd be a good idea, but I thought maybe you've heard of something like this where you can.
Of course, I have
this
heard.
This happens, Steve, with some regularity,
Oh, gosh, yeah. So if you adopt a greyhound, for example, from a racing track, those dogs have had no experience with lots of things, including steps.
Yeah.
So you can teach dogs, old dogs included, new tricks.
Right.
There's no question.
I'm sure she can. She's just having a very hard time getting it going.
How long has this been?
Well, for a week now. She moved in the new building a week ago.
Well, if she's making no headway, she's either not doing something right or the dogs have a reason, whatever that might be, to be afraid of the stairs.
We have two stairs in our house because we're rich. No, one is a back stairwell, which is carpeted, and one is hardwood in the front. And I'll be honest with you, Kona doesn't like coming down the hardwood because with the nails, they can slip.
Right, exactly. Right. So, as I say, if the stairs, the stairs are carpeted, you're better off. I mean, there may not be.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Yeah, so if you're not sure, what you could do is buy a rug runner inexpensively and eventually begin cutting away at that.
Ah.
You know, you
good idea, Steve.
Yeah.
See, it takes so long to train a dog. I want results overnight, not this one step at a time thing.
I know.
Good luck to you, Joe.
I know.
Thanks.
Thank you, Joe.
Steve, remember Peanut the Gibbon that I had for many, many years? He would only travel by way of escalator. No matter where we would go, he would only travel by way of an escalator.
And he walked up it, too. He never stood
there. He wouldn't just stay still.
Because that
always
bugs you.
Yeah, he would.
You trained
walk
him well.
Thank you, Wendy.
But when you went to city, I understood he would, you would fly in, and so would he.
Yes.
He would skydive down.
Skydive,
Yeah, into trees.
In every city that allowed it, there are certain cities that
have
restrictions.
Of course. No skydiving gibbons. Yeah, I understand.
We're on the air, you guys. You realize this?
I didn't know that.
Mentioned something about science. There are a lot of people who can't have cats because they're allergic to cats, but that may be a thing of the past now?
Yes, we're getting to that.
That's pretty huge.
It's incredible. I mean, can you imagine as a scientist waking up one morning and saying, I am going to do something about all those people, which is about 20% of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
are
huge
allergic
number.
To cats?
Yeah, that are allergic to cats. So when you're allergic to cats, you're not allergic to the being of the cat. You're allergic to a protein in their saliva.
Dander.
Is
no,
it the dander?
It's a protein.
Oh,
it's a protein in their saliva.
Yeah.
It actually has a name. FELD1 is the name of the protein. That's important to know in case
FELD1.
In case I test you later.
All right.
Now what the cats do is he's actually writing it down. What the cats do is they groom themselves because that's what cats do, right? It's a real sticky protein.
Yeah.
Then the hair goes all over the place over the course of time.
Right.
And it's a sticky protein. So it sticks on walls, it sticks on furniture, sticks on the floor, sticks on people, sticks everywhere. And that is what people are allergic to. So a scientist at Purina, and I suppose an entire team, has figured out a way to neutralize that protein. So we are no longer allergic to it. It's really quite
incredible.
That's
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Have they been working on this for centuries?
It would.
For how long?
I don't know how many years, a couple of years.
But it's problem
and
solved.
And they tried it out, and it works.
Always? Like you said, 20% of people were allergic to cats.
It works like 90-something percent of the time.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, there are people, so it's incredible at several levels. First of all, there are people that live with cats that are allergic, that pop decongestants every day,
yeah.
and don't have a relationship that they could have with their cat,
yeah.
because they don't even want to touch their cat, but they love cats. The second thing are people who develop allergies, or families that come together, and either he or she turns out to be allergic to cats.
Right.
Well, guess where the cat goes?
Right.
To the shelter, or just is booted outside. It's one of the big reasons why cats are given up to shelters.
Yeah.
And it's also a huge reason for cats not being adopted. So if we could change all that, wow.
Steve, great. How will this affect couples where one of the team is lying, they hate cats, but they say, I wish we could have a cat, but I'm allergic. That's going to ruin that relationship, isn't it?
I think Jim Samuels.
Jim Samuels?
What?
He's a divorce lawyer.
Oh.
All right.
I don't know.
That was.
What about that kitty bubble suit that you came up with for people that were allergic to cats?
Yeah, will those still be sold? Because I've sold a lot of those kitty bubble suits.
I've not heard about that before.
Yeah.
Bill was hard at work on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I made a lot of money on those.
He knows things in the pet world I just do not
thank
know.
Thank you.
When are you on next and what will you be talking about? I love listening to you.
Thank you. I'm on 6:30 on Sunday morning, and I'm not sure what we're talking about yet this Sunday, but I can assure you it will be interesting.
Something pet related, probably?
Probably, yeah. Yes.
Best place for people to find you if they have questions or just want to say hello, Steve.
Or you can read about all the things we've talked about or see me in a hot car. So what I did...
A hot car meaning temperature-wise?
You did a video of you sweating?
Yeah. Someone thought that was a good idea. I wore my wife's fake fur coat because dogs are always wearing a fur coat. I put on a winter hat. Went up to the roof of the Anti-Cruelty
Society.
Probably
looked like Chet Kopick Jr. that day.
rest his soul.
Yep. Yes. It was 82 degrees. It wasn't even that hot out. We opened the window a crack, and the GoPro camera died.
Oh,
that's how hot it was.
Too hot.
Yeah. And the temperature gauge thing, we bought a little thermometer at Walmart or something like that. It went up to 125, and you saw this thing go up, 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 and then it hit the end of it, and it stopped working. That's
just don't leave your dogs in cars. Plus, I mean, they can injure themselves. They
trying
can,
to get out sometimes.
Just leave them at home where they're happy. All put the TV on for them. And
that's fair warning.
Yeah.
Let them watch Facts of Life.
Yes. Yeah.
Facts of Life?
I don't know.
The TV show or the old movie?
What's the old movie?
Bob Hope, Lucille Ball movie.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Very good,
that's
Steve.
That's a fact of life.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Much puppy love to you.
and kitten purrs back to you.
All right. Thank you.